And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us dearly, who is with us always. Amen. Well, this morning I'd like us to go to one verse in Philippians chapter 3, and in the context of all the readings that we have heard this morning, but look at what God says to his church, to you and me personally as his children today. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, I don't know if we could hear much better words than that, right? When you think of the importance of citizenship in a nation where you live, and certainly we blessed to be citizens of the United States of America, and just the wonderful blessings and resources that we have in this great land. You know, sometimes you have to get away from it, though, to really appreciate how blessed we are as citizens, wherever home is for us here in this room as United States citizens. And I think at wartime, we see that expressed in a lot of ways. And certainly, some of my most precious memories of my dad is when he would talk about his experiences in World War II. And he was in the Army Air Corps and worked at repair squadrons where they'd bring in broken airplanes to fix them and send them out again. And he was stationed in Egypt and India. But I always remember one story that Dad would tell. And they were in India and they were in a Jeep, he and another soldier, and they're driving around through the rural areas of India. And in the afternoons there, the custom was everybody takes a nap, a siesta. So they're driving down the road, and here's everybody out on their porches sleeping. And the companion with my dad said, boy, look how stupid that is. In the heart of the day when they could be working, they're sleeping. My dad paused for a moment, looked at him, and says, you want to see stupid? It's us sitting in this Jeep fighting for these people that are sleeping when we could be back home working hard on our farms. But in that, really, the message of longing to be home. That wasn't home. That was a strange area. And longing to be home. And I always remember my dad getting teary-eyed and came back on a ship and they came into New York Harbor. And he said, when I saw the Statue of Liberty, I knew that I was home. Well, isn't it kind of like that for all of us as citizens? Our citizenship is in heaven, and yet here we are in this broken, dark, evil, corrupted world that we know as Earth, and we are not here to stay. This is not home, but we're traveling through, as we hear in Hebrews 11. We're sojourners on this earth. By the way, it's not the way God intended it to be in the beginning. And in the gospel reading, we see it again as God's own people in the heart and the center of God's kingdom on earth, Jerusalem. And yet there is where some of the most evil and corrupt things happen against the prophets of God that are sent to his people and even to his own son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus speaks of the rejection and the longing for his people to turn back to him. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. God created Adam and Eve, and he made earth their home. It was their home for eternity. This is where their citizenship was. This was their kingdom. God gave them the keys to the kingdom, and he wanted them to live here and to manage it and to simply return honor and praise to the one who had given it. And yet we know through the history of the church, of our first parents, the original sin, we know that through that everything changed. Adam and Eve were banned from the Garden of Eden. They were banned from that place that God had established as their home. And even more so, they were banned from the Tree of Life. And so where they once were going to live forever, now death has come into the picture. And everything changed. It just didn't affect Adam and Eve. It affected all of God's creation, God's judgment and curse upon this earth. And it is tainted now by sin. And as such, it's no longer home. In fact, we know that life once was eternal on this earth. We would never die. And now we are mortals, aren't we? We know we're going to die. And certainly here in our family of Trinity, we've had a lot of funerals recently to remind us of that reality. Our life is not that long, except for Christine Dick, of course. Most of us, 70, 80 years. Christine said, no, I'm going to stick around a little longer, over 100. But even 100 isn't that long, is it, Christine? In the expanse of time. No, not that long. And in this world in which we live, as Paul describes in our text before us in Philippians 3, verse 18, here's the culture of the world now. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And if you want to see someone that's looked upon as an enemy by many, it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's tragic how the world has changed over the years so drastically. But we can go back to the Old Testament this morning and Jeremiah 26, verse 8. We heard that read. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak, and that's really crucial, all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." So here's Jeremiah faithfully coming as God's messenger, speaking God's truth as God commanded him and inspired the words to speak. And look who first and foremost is confronting him and threatening him with death. It's the prophets and the priests of the day. Enemies of the church, enemies of Christ. And these are the ones who were in that position of leadership that should have been at the forefront of supporting Jeremiah and acknowledging the message that God was sending to the people of Judah of that day. But instead, the leaders of the church of the day are leading their people to turn away from God and to even destroy the messengers that God sends. It's the world in which we live. People do not want to hear truth. And so God was promising disaster upon the land of Judah if they didn't turn away from their errors and turn back to the truth. And they did not want anything to do with that. Well, the Old Testament, Jesus' cry to Jerusalem in the Gospels and the early church, do you think it's any different today? Same world that we live in, same sin-corrupted issues that we deal with. And so in our world today, God's truth comes to people throughout the world, and yet many are, his truth is rejected, and the messengers rejected as well, and that includes all of us in this room. We as Christians are looked upon as great suspect in our culture today. One of the things that comes up more and more is that you and I are extremists. Do you ever think of yourself as an extremist? But extremist in the sense that you believe there's only one way to salvation and you say it's through Jesus Christ. That's pretty extreme and narrow-minded, by the way, and pretty divisive. If you want to be downright honest about it, many would say. Or when we come out and support life in the womb and life at the end of our journey upon this earth, we will be confronted and attacked when we say that that isn't tissue in the womb of a mother at the time of conception. That's a human life. And today that still remains debated. Now it's even to the point of, okay, maybe it is life, but if we don't want it, we can just exterminate it. And we're extreme if we stand for life. Or how about this one? The Holy Bible is the inerrant word of God. You know, there's many Christians that would say, I'm an extremist because I firmly hold to that truth. Because within, sadly, quote unquote, Christianity today, there's many denominations, there's many independent churches, non-denominationals, and they don't acknowledge that the Holy Bible is the inerrant Word of God. It contains the Word of God, but there's parts of that that we don't have to abide by or listen to at all because it isn't God's Word. Boy, there's a dangerous road to go down. But we're an extremist if we say, as God has declared, it's the inerrant Word of God. How about this one? God is creator of all things. Wow. In the world of evolution and everything's a cataclysmic accident, and science has proven it by many, they say. It's no longer a theory. And we say that's hogwash. And in saying that, and most of all, that God created all things, that's an extremist position. Well, you kind of get the idea. Another one is this one, joy is found not in pursuing our own desires, but in giving of ourselves to others to bless them. That is an extremist statement. And right in the face of our culture today in which we live, and people don't want to hear that. We believers are looked upon also as enemies in the world. And an interesting book was given to me. It's titled Good Faith. And I have a quote from this book this morning I'd like you to see. But in this book, here's a perspective of the worldview today. The worldview answers people... The worldview answers people now live by are provided by feelings. So the real deal is how you feel. Desire, not reality, and not what is good, rules our world. That is even true for the most part within religion. The quest for pleasure takes over the house of God. What is good or what is true is no longer the guide. Boy, is that scary? But if you honestly look at and dialogue with people and see where they're coming from, we're in a very narcissistic time of it's all about me in everything, at the expense of everyone else. And that's in feelings and desires, instead of looking at what does God have to say in all of this. Well, the common philosophy of the day, and this is another quote from the book, I don't have this for the screen, but if something or someone stands in the way of my fulfillment, that obstacle must be removed. That person represents the enemy, the embodiment of evil, so keep your beliefs to yourself. So, if we stand firm in God's truth, if we go forth and share the truth, people don't want to hear that generally. That's fine. If that's what you think is truth, just keep it to yourself. Otherwise, you're the enemy, right? And one person I thought of was Jack Phillips, the baker in Denver. Remember that issue? Didn't refuse to bake a cake for the homosexual couple for their wedding, but he did refuse to decorate it. Went all the way to the Supreme Court and just brought all kinds of pain and torment to him. And financially, I'm not sure how he's doing at this time, but a classic example of what that statement says. You can have your beliefs, but keep them to yourself. Well, I don't know about you, but this doesn't really feel like home to me. Feels like a lot of turmoil. Well, it isn't home. It's like my dad in a faraway, strange place. That wasn't home. And it's very evident that it's not. And it's because of the sin and the corruption that sin has brought to the world. But the good news is that we're not citizens here. Our citizenship, as God declares through the Apostle Paul, is in heaven. That's our place of citizenship. And we look forward as God's people in our sojourning on this earth. We're always looking forward and looking to Jesus, whom we're going to see, by the way, with our own eyes. Isn't that going to be incredible? We see him now through the eyes of faith, but one day we're going to see him with our own eyes. And we'll be hanging out with Jesus, as the kids say, in heaven. The one who died for us, the one who won for us eternal salvation, we are going to be in his physical presence with him. And so this is the Jesus, the one and only. And they can call us extremists, they can call us enemies, but we are people of the truth, and we hold on to the truth, and we stand firm in the truth. And the reality is Jesus is the only way. And he is the one who has saved us from sin and all of its dreadful effects. He's the one who has saved us from the curse and the bondage of the law. He is the one who has saved us and delivered us from the captivity of Satan. He alone is the one who has saved us from eternal condemnation. And he is the one, by the way, that sits at the right hand of the Father and rules all things. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, you may want to pull this out today and just ponder these words, especially in light of the political scene that we're living in today and all of the ramifications of that. It can get so depressing to see the things that are going on. But in Ephesians 1, we hear these words: according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named. He put all things under his feet. He gave him as head over all things. And then look at that. To whom? To the church. You could put your name in there and be true to the text. God has done all of this for you individually. And so even as we travel through this dark, sin, broken, evil, corrupted world, and even with our dark, evil, corrupted, sinful flesh, we can take comfort that God remains in control. Jesus reigns over all things. God's promise is whatever happens, God either directs it, like he did heathen countries coming in and destroying Judah, even demolishing the temple to bring discipline upon his people of the day. So today, God can direct those kinds of things to happen. He certainly allows them for his purposes. But that's the key thing. It's always in accordance to his will for the sake of his church, for you and me, individually blessed to be citizens of this incredible heavenly kingdom. And so here we are, sojourners, but we look forward to heaven. We look forward to reigning with Christ in glory. What an incredible life that will be for eternity, where there is no more death, where all of the effects of sin are non-existent anymore. That's our future. And that's our hope, and that's our encouragement. But we still have a journey, just like my dad in Egypt and India for a while. We have a journey here on this earth, and it's a very important one. Do you know that God refers to you and me as ambassadors? And you can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But we are called by God to be ambassadors. And an ambassador is an extremely important position when you think of it in the political realms. You know, somebody is representing the United States of America and virtually every other country that exists on the face of the earth. And there's many people in different countries where our ambassadors are that have never been to the United States. There are those who have never met an American. And so when they see the ambassador there representing the United States of America, his demeanor, his attitude, his philosophies, the way that he looks upon life, they're going to look upon you and me in that same way. They're going to assume that that's what America is all about. Very important position, but even more so for each one of us, because who do we represent? We represent Jesus Christ. And so unbelievers around us, as they observe you and me, knowing we are Christian, they are getting an insight from us as to what Christ must be like. That's a huge responsibility, but a great blessing at the same time as we share God's truth, not only His Word, but by our actions, and especially by that unconditional love that we are blessed to share. We live representing Christ by His attitudes, His demeanor, His words. And I'll leave you with this scripturally this morning, Philippians 2, 1-5. And I love this text. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. There it is. Like-minded, representing Christ. And here's what that looks like. Having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, do nothing, and there's the truth, by the way, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Boy, there's in the face of the world, right, that says you do everything out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests in the face of the world that says, hey, it's all about my interests, not yours. No, if we represent Christ, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Do you realize the power that God entrusts to you and me with His truth, His love, and how we can literally change lives? It's not our power, but it's God working through us as we simply represent Him. We represent truth in a world that, for the most part, denies it. But we're not home, and it's not an easy journey. But like my dad, we can look forward to that day, not seeing the Statue of Liberty and knowing we're home, but seeing our Lord Jesus Christ with our own eyes, seeing Jesus sitting on the throne and welcoming His children, gathering His chicks under His wings, well, where we will dwell together for eternity. How blessed we are that our citizenship is in heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has established it, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.